not a soul. And drinking from the well, locked in a factory. When the chimes of freedom ring, I hear what you're saying. I hear what he's saying. Is what was true now no longer so? Summertime sun fall on the apple. Lord, there goes a Buick 49, black sheep of the angels riding, riding down the line. We think there is a soul.
Wednesday, the middle of the week, and so in just a few moments, it will be time for our national progressive town hall meeting that Congressman Pocan shares with us every other week and has for years now. Middays with Mark. Is impeaching Hegseth moving forward? We'll talk about that. Yeah, also, in the second hour of our program, my op-ed today, Democrats to win back America, confront Trump's and the GOP's naked corruption. I think this is the biggest message coming out of what happened in Hungary. But it's not just Hungary. We've seen this in country after country and state after state, frankly, where Democrats and small-d Democrats in other countries have run on a platform of fighting corruption, that it is arguably the single most powerful message out there. Alexei Navalny did it. Vladimir Zelensky did it. Well, we'll get into that in the second hour of the program. Also, Bernie Sanders pulls the pin on Trump's bomb factory for Israel. We'll get into that in our second hour. In the third hour of our program, Congressman Ro Khanna fights back against Big Oil's war on your wallet. I'll be telling you about that story. And Mayor Bomdani finally gets to eat the rich, and it's very tasty. Quite a story. But to start out, our buddy Congressman Mark Pocan, the current member, chair emeritus of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He represents the 2nd District of Wisconsin in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's on the House Committee on Appropriations, co-founder, co-chair of the Labor Council, co-chair of the Congressional Equality Caucus, co-chair and co-founder of the Defense Spending Reduction Caucus. And he's got a new weekly podcast with Liberty and Justice for Some, which is available on Apple Podcasts. His website, pocan.house.gov, P-O-C-A-N, also his Blue Sky handled. Congressman, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Tom. So glad to be here.
It's always such a pleasure to have you. House Democrats have introduced 5 articles of impeachment against Pete Hegseth, or will be this morning, I guess. I believe you're one of them.
I believe so, too. I'm not 100% sure. There's a lot going on right now. We got Jamie Raskin's measure looking at the 25th Amendment, right? Mm-hmm. Something that clearly is important. But, honestly, these days, it's the Republicans who are giving us most of the work when it comes to looking at, trying to change the faces of Congress. I mean, not standing up to Donald Trump, having their own internal problems, the fact that Donald Trump now is depicting himself as Jesus. I don't know if I could make up things for them to do that would hurt their chances any more than they're currently doing. But Donald Trump certainly does seem to not want to have Republicans in the majority by his actions. It's a really crazy time.
He did it again this morning with a picture of him as Jesus's best friend. He's not Jesus anymore. He's just buddies. This is a guy who on Easter Sunday decided to go golfing, right? And use obscenities and threaten to destroy an entire civilization, which itself, by the way, is a violation of international law. I'm curious your thoughts on Abigail Spanberger, the new governor of Virginia, signing this legislation yesterday, I believe it was, to join the Interstate Compact to end the Electoral College, essentially. Are you optimistic that this could happen in the next year or two and, in time for 2028? And there's some big states that still haven't signed, Michigan. So I think we're 44 states short now. And B, if it does pass, do you think the Supreme Court, because the Republicans have said they're going to immediately sue, do you think the Supreme Court will uphold it?
Yeah, I think the challenge really is, as you said, 44 states aren't on board yet with it. But, this is a debate that we absolutely should be having.
44. I misspoke.
44.
44. Yeah. 44 electoral votes. My
44 apologies. Electoral votes. Yeah, I'm sorry. 44 electoral votes. The thing is, this is a debate we need to have, right? I don't think our founders, and we've changed much over time, right? The size of the Supreme Court, how we elect senators. I mean, we've done a lot of changes as a nation. That's what you do. And in this case, does Electoral College still make sense in how we are as a nation? And I think many of us, myself included, would argue probably not. So to see that happen by a moderate, governor, I don't think anyone's thinking Spanberger's a progressive by any stretch of the imagination. I think just shows that when you have this thoughtful discussion, maybe it is time for us to have this as a nation. But you still have to get through the hoops of those final states, which always we find, just like with ERA, is the most difficult.
I'm curious, in a way that doesn't slam Spanberger. What is the difference between a progressive governor? I think of J.B. Pritzker or arguably, the governor of California, versus a moderate governor. What in the Democratic Party? I always thought that those labels kind of meant takes corporate money, doesn't take corporate money, or is in favor of, Medicare for all or isn't. Or I mean, is there any kind of clear definition, or is this kind of a squishy thing?
Yeah, I think when you become a governor, it is a slightly different role, right? You're not maybe advocating for policy change as much as you're running a state, right? You still should, I think, advocate for policy change, but the governor's role is slightly different. But I think Abigail was, definitely seen as a moderate, not a conservative, but not a progressive member of Congress. And now that she's governor, she's doing some really good things right out of the gate. I think that's important, and I just think more governors should maybe take on a little bit more into policy because, Medicare for All is just, I think, the classic example, right? I mean, the debacle we saw was taking health care from 15 million people and doing the devastation to the Affordable Care Act, and you're the only industrialized nation without health care. I mean, states should be looking at what they can do to make up for what the federal government does, and I think, that's all a role of a good governor, whether it be progressive or not.
Yeah, I totally get it. Typically when we, and by the way, for our listeners, 202-808-9925 is our number. Congressman Pocan will be with us for the whole hour taking your calls. The board is about two-thirds full, so if you want to jump in quick. Last question, and then we'll get to our calls. Typically, I open this by saying, what's on your mind today? So let me just toss that to you. Is there anything you want people to know about before we start?
Honestly, I just did my podcast. I taped literally minutes before I came on here for this week with John Tierney, former member of Congress, 9 terms, who now is running the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. Something we don't talk about nearly enough, but given what Trump just did in Iran, kind of made a lot of us say, is he talking about using nukes? But I didn't really realize this, and maybe I should have, but there are now, as of February 5th, I believe, no current agreements or treaties with any country on nuclear weapons, and that hasn't happened since the 1980s. So when you look at Donald Trump adding another $500 billion to the defense budget and trying to add more money for nukes, we're at a time that we haven't been, and maybe this means we have to have this conversation a little more.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. All right, well, let's pick up some calls here. Roger in Seattle, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Thank you, Congressman, for appearing again for a whole hour this time instead of a half hour. Since you're on the Appropriations Committee, would you be willing to investigate keeping all of Russian and Israeli money that we send billions of dollars to Israel, and part of that is for the upkeep of Palestinians, whether they're Arab or Christian? And also, the Russians have all of this money in New York banks for, future oil payments or whatever. So are you willing to float legislation to keep Israeli and Russian money that's already in American banks from going across the ocean?
Not sure we could do that through the appropriations process. However, I think you bring up a point I do want to talk about, and hopefully it's related to this, is, recently there was a lot of attention when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said no more defensive money for the Iron Dome, right? This is the assistance we give to often – we took away what we give to countries in need through USAID, but we were funding this with Israel. But watching what we've watched Israel in their quest for more war in the Middle East – I'm not sure they need another dollar from the United States, and not just in weapons like our bill to block the bombs that I'm a part of, but also even on the defensive side, which I think J Street, a major American Jewish organization, came out and recently said. So, I think in general, we need to reassess where we put our money internationally. I would much rather see us put it towards PEPFAR, HIV, AIDS, other diseases, helping in development, helping in farming, rather than what we do all too often. And we've been doing in places like Israel. So it didn't answer your question directly, but I do think it's related to the money we send those countries.
Congressman Mark Pocan is with us for the hour, taking your calls. We'll be right back with more of your calls for Representative Pocan in just a moment. You can find his website at pocan.house.gov. Stick around. It's 16 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back with you with more of your calls for Congressman Mark Pocan.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It is Middays with Mark. We'll be right back with Congressman Mark Pocan. And welcome back. Maverick in Edmonds, Washington. Hey, Maverick, what's on your mind today? You're on with Congressman Pocan.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Congressman Mark, I did not know that you had a podcast. If you would tell me, I would definitely tune into it. My question for you is kind of a question and a half. I'm extremely concerned with people that, like Kristi Noem, et cetera, who have been part of this criminal element in the current administration. I'm very concerned that they will not be held accountable. I don't mean put in jail, but held accountable. So what can you say to that? And the other part of the question is, what efforts have been made to contact other your Republican colleagues on the other side of the aisle? Do you brush elbows with them in the hallway? Are you actively seeking them? Not just you, but all the Democrats. Thank you for your question. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, so on the hold accountable, this is the best part about what happens in November. If you flip the majority, which I think is going to happen, Democrats are in charge, we have oversight. So through all the committees, we now have the gavels. We have the power of subpoena. We saw how the Republicans used that recently with the Clintons. So we have actually even a little more power with the subpoenas to bring people in. And that is the accountability. I mean, you know, Russ Vogt at Office of Management and Budget is under my subcommittee on appropriations, Tom. And, you know, he's the one stealing money that Congress has in a bipartisan way allocated, and he's breaking the Constitution. Article 1 gives that power of the purse to Congress. We need to bring him in to explain why he's stealing that money that we have appropriated. I just had a couple groups in this week alone that aren't getting hundreds of millions of dollars that we approved over multiple years because of the Trump administration. So that accountability happens because we have the gavels, and also we have the power to sue as Congress, something that Mike Johnson hasn't done. So, and there are other things as well, but that's just a start of some of the things that we can do to hold people like Kristi Noem and Pam Bondi and others accountable.
CJ in Los Angeles, you're on there with Congressman Pocan.
Hey, I just want to say a little something about the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. Great news on Virginia. Possible constitutional wrinkle. Article 1, Section 10, powers denied to the states. Paragraph 1 is things states just plain can't do, including ex post facto, which is and bill
section Spain, 3 requires too. Congress to authorize compacts, right?
Yeah, it's I think it's paragraph 2 actually, but it says that no state without the consent of Congress shall blah 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 or enter into a compact with any other state.
Right.
Okay. Now, the thing is, of course, that has been allowed before in the past. We have the Colorado River Compact, etc. That's an interstate compact. So it could be said that Congress would have to specifically authorize this. That, right. To the best of my knowledge, that hasn't happened.
So I just have 20 seconds, so let's let the congressman answer that. That's a great question, CJ. Thank you.
Yeah, and CJ, I think that's why I was saying, you know, we need to have public debates about things like this, things like what I just mentioned, that, you know, we don't have any agreements around nuclear weapons right now around the world, the first time since the 1980s. I mean, there are things you need a Congress to do, and that's why we need to make sure we've got new faces in Congress come November to address these issues, and we, the people, are leading these debates.
There you go. Congressman Mark Pocan is with us for the hour. Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be back with more of your calls for Representative Pocan in just a moment. You can find his website at pocan.house.gov, pocan.house.gov, and that's also his blue sky handle. We'll be right back. Actually, we'll be back in 60 seconds. Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Way back in 1964, when Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, the Republicans started this rant about how the election of 1960, Jack Kennedy stole that election, and there's voter fraud in America. And it became a thing. They started this thing called Operation Eagle Eye. William Rehnquist was running it in Arizona, trying to intimidate Hispanics and African Americans into not voting, essentially. They have now used this claim that non-citizens are voting, this voter fraud claim, in virtually every red state to make it harder to vote, to purge people off the voting rolls, to make people's votes not counted with their exact signature matches. It's a scam. It's a grift that they've been running for 60 years, and the American media won't call them out on it. There's a whole piece about it called Trump and the GOP's Big Lie 2.0 over at HartmanReport.com. Please check it out. You'll find it fascinating. Welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here for Congressman Mark Pocan in our Middays with Mark Hour. Ed in Chicago, you're on the air with Representative Pocan.
Yeah, Congressman, listen, the word treason is kind of like the word Epstein. It gets the attention of people who don't pay attention to politics. So I'm wondering why the Democrats are so reluctant to use the word treason in reference to Trump, because he's released billions in oil money to Putin, who's using satellite technology to Iran, which is pinpointing our troops. How is that not treason, and why aren't the Democrats making a bigger deal of it? That's my question.
Yeah, I don't know. We've actually not had a conversation about the word of treason, whether to use it or not. So maybe the fact that it's just not something maybe that is used every day is probably the greatest reason. But, you know, we do point out the very things you're talking about. I think, when, you know, they were so mad at Obama for releasing some money that was their money in Iran, and yet he was allowing $14 billion worth of oil sales to go directly to Iran, and so many other things that are so contradictory, yet Republicans seem to, you know, ignore everything that Donald Trump says. We do point those out. We are trying to point those out. But the best part is the American people are getting it. I mean, I'm watching polling right now, and people, especially independents, are moving so far away from Donald Trump and what the Republicans are up to. That's why November is going to be really interesting and provide us some real opportunities to have that proper oversight and accountability.
Mike in Fairfax, Virginia, you're on the air with Representative Pocan.
Yes, Congressman. Basically, if you read the Trump speech of April 1st, there are two statements he makes that makes it very clear that Iran was not an imminent threat but was a target of opportunity. The first statement is he talks about it would take months to get near the nuclear dust. And then if they move to make a move, we'll hit them very hard. So that makes it clear they couldn't have a nuclear weapon imminently. It would take months to even get the highly enriched uranium, and then it would take, and then we could basically deter them from actually getting it at all at any time. So I don't. Why hasn't the Democrats made that point? This was not an imminent threat, but was a target of opportunity.
Yeah, we have over and over and over and over again. It's a war of choice. And it's not just that one statement. There's multiple by the administration, by secretaries, by Trump himself, who've essentially said there was no imminent threat, that they've given a lot of other reasons, and now even they're trying to change the reasons why they're in the war to begin with. So it's being said. The good news, Mike, is rather than complaining about, you know, what you haven't heard that's being said, is realize we are making huge ground on this. The American people are way smarter than the Republicans think they are, and they understand this is a war of choice that's jacking up the price of gasoline, that's risking our relationships with other countries, and Donald Trump doesn't really know how to get out of this, and gasoline is likely to stay high right through the November election. So, you know, in many ways, Donald Trump is our number one political asset in how he's behaving, and then throw on top of it, you know, him depicting himself as Jesus, just one more problem that he's got to deal with and Republicans have to deal with. So it's happening, trust me, every day. This is one that I'm kind of surprised you haven't heard, because I've said it 100 times, if I've said it once, as well as many, many other members of Congress. It's pretty much in our daily conversations.
Congressman, I just have 50 seconds to a hard break here. Mm-hmm. How can Americans best reach out to their members of Congress and motivate them, and, you know, for whatever their particular priorities may be?
Yeah, I mean, whenever we're home is always the best, right? If you could find a town hall or find and make a town hall out of an event if they're not having town halls. But, you know, it's that face-to-face contact. It's that personalized letter or call or email. Although, honestly, if you mail something, it takes a while to get there. So sometimes an email or a call is the quickest. It's not the mass postcard, honestly, and some of the mass campaigns.
What about local offices?
Totally. The local offices, people contact our offices all the time. Generally, less policy is done there, more of the casework is done there, but it's the same group of people that are talking. And I get accounts every week, Tom, as I think every member does, of who's contacted my office on what issue in by volume numbers and how they've reached out. But, you know, just remember that that one personalized contact is probably more valuable than 50 postcards or 100, because it's given me an actual story I can read and understand and follow up on and understand how something's having an impact back home. So, you know, always that
to
personal
Tom
contact.
Hartman program. Call 202-808-9925.
Thank you. Congressman Mark Pocan is with us for the hour, taking your calls. We'll be back with more of your calls for Representative Pocan on the other side of the world. Wants your bank account. The Electoral College is dying, and Mondami feasts on the rich. Good morning. This is the Commonwealth Report. News for the public, not the powerful. You can follow us at commonwealthreport.news. Sanders pulls the pin on Trump's bomb factory for Israel. Bernie Sanders is done asking nicely. This week, the Vermont senator is forcing Senate votes to block nearly $500 million in arms sales to the Netanyahu government. We're talking about $151.8 million worth of 1,000-pound bombs used in Gaza and Lebanon, and $295 million worth of Caterpillar bulldozers used to demolish Palestinian homes. Secretary of State Rubio invoked emergency powers to skip congressional review and rush these weapons through without a vote. U.S. taxpayers have spent tens of billions in support of the racist, extremist Netanyahu government, Sanders said. Enough is enough. Senate rules let Sanders force a floor vote with a simple majority and no filibuster. 60% of Americans now view Israel unfavorably. The Democratic caucus is moving. These votes are on the record, and they matter. Will even Italy's Meloni walk away from Israel? Here's one for the history books. Italy's far-right Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, one of Israel's closest European allies, just suspended her country's defense cooperation agreement with Israel. The deal, in place since 2003, covers the transfer of military equipment and technology research. Meloni acted after Israeli forces fired warning shots at a convoy of Italian UN peacekeepers in Lebanon. Italy's foreign minister called Israel's ambassador to Rome for the third time since 2024. Trump, furious at his political ally, publicly snapped at Meloni in an interview. Meanwhile, a European Citizens Initiative calling on the EU to suspend its association agreement with Israel just crossed 1 million signatures. Israel dismissed Meloni's move as meaningless, claiming the pact never had any substantive content anyway. Try telling that to the million Europeans who disagree. Is Trump getting ready to seize your bank account? Here's a story that should alarm every American. The Trump administration is moving forward on an executive order that would require banks to collect citizenship documentation from every customer. Treasury Secretary billionaire Scott Bessent confirmed it's already in progress. The stated goal is pushing undocumented immigrants out of the banking system. But banking experts warn this would strip millions of ordinary Americans of their accounts, including Trump's own voters. Only half of Americans have passports. In West Virginia, just 2 out of 10 people own one. The 10 states with the lowest passport rates all voted for Trump every time. 1 in 10 Americans can't locate their birth certificate. No bank account means no direct deposit and no bill paying. This isn't immigration enforcement. It's economic warfare on working people. Can Virginia's new law finally bury the Electoral College? Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger signed a landmark bill this week, making Virginia the 19th member of the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. Under the compact, member states pledge their electoral votes to whoever wins the national popular vote, not just their state's winner. Virginia brings the compact to 222 of the 270 electoral votes needed to take effect, just 48 short. When it hits 270, it ends the Electoral College's power to hand the presidency to someone who lost the popular vote, something that's happened five times, including twice for Donald Trump. 63% of Americans support the popular vote system, per Pew Research. Republicans are calling it unconstitutional. That's no surprise. The Electoral College is the only thing keeping them in power. Ro Khanna fights back against Big Oil's war on your wallet. Gas prices are on fire and getting worse. Crude oil is trading above $100 a barrel because of Trump's stupid war against Iran, and Americans are watching pump prices climb by the day. California Congressman Ro Khanna is introducing legislation to ban U.S. gasoline exports whenever the national average price exceeds $3.12 a gallon, a threshold we've already blown past. Here's the outrage. America is now the world's largest exporter of motor gasoline, while families struggle at the pump. Big Oil is shipping our supply overseas for maximum profit. Khanna says we need a new energy policy, not driven by oil company greed. His bill faces long odds in this Congress, but the point is clear. Working people are bleeding at the pump while oil executives pocket the profits. Mayor Mamdani finally gets to eat the rich. New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani just scored his biggest win yet, and it tastes delicious. Governor Kathy Hochul, who had been blocking Mamdani's tax the rich agenda for months, flipped and backed a brand new annual tax on luxury second homes in New York City worth $5 million or more. This is the first pied-à-terre tax of its kind in New York State history. These are the apartments owned by billionaires and global elites that sit empty most of the year while working New Yorkers can't pay rent. Hochul's office estimates the tax will generate at least $500 million a year. Mamdani called it a step toward making the ultra-wealthy pay their fair share. 62% of New Yorkers support taxing the rich. Pull up a chair. The feast has begun. And that's the way it is today, Wednesday, April 15th, 2026. I'm Tom Hartman. Did you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Congressman Mark Pocan with us, taking your calls for the hour. Bernice in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good morning, gentlemen. My common question is, I'm wondering if, and Congress may not be the place to have this conversation, but we're going into primary season, and I think that Democrats really need to understand and, you know, that during primaries is when you can work hard for the one that you really, really like. But once the person is already nominated by the party, regardless of who it is, we have to go for it. And I guess I'm not explaining right, but if you remember Randy Rhodes, she's a talk show host, and she used to call it, you fall in love in the primaries and you fall in line in the general elections. And I just said, I think that's a good way that our voters need to understand what primary elections are versus general.
Yeah, I think primaries are where we have some of our more spirited debates, right? Because it's people who largely agree on many things, and the differences sometimes are on certain issues. But when you look at where this Congress is and what they're giving Donald Trump the ability to do, or not standing up for us as a co-equal branch of government when it comes to tariffs, when it comes to the power of the purse, when it comes to war powers. You certainly want to change the faces of Congress. And, you know, there is not a Republican that I can think of in the House that I think has stood up in any substantial way to earn their seat again. And I think, you know, I don't want to give a free pass totally, because you could have a Democrat come through who maybe is really bad, and I don't think you just naturally say that, but I haven't seen it yet. But certainly on the Republican side, I think we need to change those faces to actually get some results and have accountability.
Tim in Hickory, North Carolina, you're on the air with Representative Pocan.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I was listening. I just want to say, Tom, we had lunch with Greg Palast a few years ago back in Washington, D.C., so
Been
a while since I called.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to talk about the budget. This is not as bad as war, but I read that the president's budget proposes to cut the National Park Service by something like 80%. It seems like this is just simple destruction, something that's very popular with the American people and actually makes money and is something that we should preserve. They seem to want to destroy us. So I was wondering what we can do, or what you are doing, or what the Congress is doing to push back on that.
Yeah, so we're just starting the appropriations process. The president's submitted the budget. Congress is now putting its version together, and that will be marked up in our subcommittees. And then, you know, likely starting in a couple weeks, a little earlier than usual, we're going to start full markups of the 12 appropriation bills. So that's where we'll first have a chance to say something about it. So, but it's not just that area. There's so many areas that they've cut in a ridiculous way. And at the same time, adding $500 billion to the Pentagon budget. You know, when Barbara Lee and I, Tom, formed the Pentagon Spending Reduction Caucus, the budget at that time, I think, was $685 billion, and we were trying to hold it in check. Now they're up to $1 trillion. That was just 6 years ago, I think. And maybe $1.5 trillion under the proposed budget just shows you how much we've gone with an agency that's failed every single audit, 8 in a row, keeps getting money, and yet will cut national parks or healthcare or USAID or all these other programs. So the process is just starting, Tim, and you know, we can try to have the effect you're looking for through this process.
Yeah, it is mind-boggling. Patty in Claremont, Oklahoma, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good afternoon, Representative Pocan. My question is, we have lost last 5 or 6 presidential elections because of this practice of Republicans knocking people off the polls because of the last name they have, even cross-checking. I'm sure you're familiar with that. My solution for that is to require people to fill out a form. If you're going to knock somebody off the polls, you have to tell us why, and you have to be able to prove it. And I'm not a politician, but I think you guys should figure something out on stopping that practice. Trump thinks they're going to win another election doing the very same thing, and we got to stop it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Patty. I mean, you know, their approach is not to win voters over, but to change the rules right now, because they realize their policies aren't popular. So that's why they're doing this. But they've been doing this for years, right? That's why Democrats have always had H.R. 1. When we were in charge of the House, the most comprehensive campaign finance, elections, and ethics reform bill ever introduced in Congress. We've passed it out twice when we had the majority. The problem has been the Senate, because of their rules. They have the filibuster rules. You need 60 votes, and that's been the problem. But you are pointing out the problem, absolutely. Elections are largely run at the state level, but the changes they're trying to make are negative from the federal level, and we need to have those protections in place.
Judy in Denver, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, thank you. The Netanyahu's intention is expansionism. He has never followed any ceasefire he's agreed to. He's been bombing Lebanon since he agreed to the ceasefire with Hezbollah. He has been bombing Gaza since he agreed to the ceasefire. He killed an IDF soldier, killed a 9-year-old little girl in front of her classmates. We pay for every weapon we send Israel. They pay for nothing. When is this killing going to stop? And Netanyahu made to stick within their so-called borders and stop expanding into Lebanon, taking over Gaza, the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and killing the Palestinians and any Arabs, including Christians.
Got it, Judy. Well, let's get the answer.
Yeah, Judy, so just one little clarification. I mean, they do buy weapons many times from the United States. It's not just our money that's going for that. However, you are right. We fund too much for a country that clearly has enough money that they can start multiple wars going on and then try to bring us into that. And I think while many of us have, you know, started this effort to block the bombs, to you know, stop money going towards offensive weapons, I think now we're at the point, you know, they have enough money. They can take care of themselves on this under Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu has done more to hurt, I think, Israel across the planet than anyone. And he is recognized by the international courts. They have arrest warrant for him as a war criminal. And I think that should be served. And he should have to stand for these things. So I'm with you. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu is nothing but a warmonger who has conned multiple American presidents, Democrat and Republican, but none as big as he just conned Donald Trump into getting into this war in Iran. And we just can't stand for this anymore.
Richard in Chicago, you're on the air with Representative Pocan.
Oh, hi. Thank you. What you just were talking about really filled my mind. People ought to look back at the 67 war. They don't understand what happened. But that's an aside. I know that's a hot topic. But the reason I'm calling about is I'm wondering how the Democrats it is not enough for the Democrats to think that the GOP is going to self-immolate, you know, immolation, I should say. I think I said it right. You know, you've got to come up with something. We have to expose what they've done and have concrete proposals to crassly sell, you know, our party. Because the Republicans have won, and we're
so
not.
Your question, Richard, is what?
Well, I'd like to know why we aren't proposing, rather than reacting to the Republicans. What have they done? Like 2025 is a missed opportunity. We don't even know what's in there, and we talk about it. The Democrats should be selling something beyond how bad the.
So, are you asking what's the messaging that Democrats can win with?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let's ask that question, Congressman.
Yeah. So, Richard, the good news is, I mean, you know, we've had our top bills we've always put out there. I'm guessing many of those will be coming back again. But right now, they are crafting and fine-tuning that message for the fall, because there is some science to when you actually release it and talk about it. To what they're doing, obviously, this is all of them as they're doing stuff like depicting Trump as Jesus or, you know, threatening essentially nuclear war, all this other stuff. And that's it's exploding on them. I mean, especially the cost of living right now and tariffs. I don't think they're going to be able to come back from it. But we do have an alternative agenda. We will be articulating it. But there is something a bit to the science of when that gets released, at least on past experience. But rest assured, not only is there an agenda, but you will hear much, much, much more about it very soon.
44 minutes past the hour. Congressman Mark Pocan is with us for the hour, taking your calls. We'll be right back with more of your calls for Representative Pocan in just a moment. You can find his website at pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him also on Blue Sky or Blue Sky M or whatever that's called. Pocan.house.gov. Stick around. We'll be right back. It's Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Congressman Mark Pocan here on the place where smart people get their news. We'll be right back with your calls for him. And welcome back. David in Bandon, Oregon. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity. This is a completely unrelated subject. I'm wondering what What does Congress know about Elon Musk and his satellite system? Is this all top secret stuff? Last summer, my son called me out in the yard and said, "Look at this." Sure enough, they were strung out across the sky. Does Congress know what the function of these satellites are, and is there any oversight to be done about the satellites? That's my question.
Yeah, so likely people who have the committees of jurisdiction that would be relevant to that would have some of the information. And do we have some oversight? Yeah, we do, especially if it's our tax dollars going into it. But, you know, I think much broader, Elon Musk needs to be brought in for a whole lot more when it comes to what Doge did and is still doing, even though Doge officially doesn't exist. But, you know, those two Doge bros that went around on the internet, Tom, I mean, about as embarrassing as possible. You know, one of the things that my subcommittee on APROPES, the Financial Services and General Government Jurisdiction, has is over Office of Management Budget and over Doge. And, you know, we've got to bring some folks in and figuring out that out specifically with him, because his involvement, he should not have gotten the ability to work within the federal government and get contracts from. We just don't allow that anywhere else. And certainly Elon Musk shouldn't be in that place either.
Not to mention that they stole all of our Social Security information, which is multiple hundreds of thousands or millions of felonies.
And, you know, I asked that question, Tom, of the person who is the acting director of the IRS, because he's also of another agency. Mm-hmm. And because technically the other agency was the subject, even though the person was in front of us, I wasn't allowed to get an answer from them on that. That's all things that when we have the majority, we can do. But it's embarrassing that Congress didn't care enough to actually have that information.
Yeah, I get it. Alfredo in Mountain View, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity, Tom, and thank you, Congressman, for your work. My question is regarding Trump's bombing of Iran. I am very suspect that Kushner struck a deal with Netanyahu to bomb Iran in exchange for Trump and his family building these hotels in the Middle East Riviera that they've been talking about.
On the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, he already stole the oil from Venezuela. He is using our military to enrich himself and his family. Your thoughts. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Alfredo, your instinct is right that you should always assume whatever Donald Trump does, he does for himself and his family first and foremost. And I'm sure that's in back of his mind, if not always in front. In this particular case, though, I just think, you know, the U.S. government has been, you know, in some ways subservient to Benjamin Netanyahu for way too long. And only Donald Trump was a big enough dupe to, you know, take the hook completely and start a war with Iran. And, you know, I just think this is Donald Trump is he's trying to put his name on everything and trying to have a legacy. This was part of him falling for something. Granted, he assumes good things will happen later. I don't think there may have been a direct connection. I think this was just Donald Trump being an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's astonishing to say, but yeah, yes. 49 minutes past the hour. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls. We'll be back in 60 seconds, right after I read an ad over on the commercial side. We'll be right back. Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Did you know that the ancient Roman Republic, you know, which for 480 years was actually a democratic republic before Julius Caesar kind of ended the democracy phase and replaced it with the autocracy phase, that they were brought down by a very small group of very rich people, the richest man in ancient Rome was Marcus Licinius Crassus. He was the richest guy, the billionaire of Rome. And he frankly hated the Roman free bread for all welfare system. It was being paid for with his tax dollars, after all. So him and Pompey the Great and a few other rich guys got together, and they basically crashed Rome. They turned it into an oligarchy and then into a tyranny. And
the parallels to what Trump is doing right now are absolutely shocking. There's an article about it over at HartmanReport.com titled American Caesar, Trump's Path to Power Mirrors Rome's Darkest Days. Check it out. This is Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. Debbie in Derry, New Hampshire, you're on the air with Rep. Pocan.
Oh, I got my mouthful of food, sorry. Okay. Hello. Good afternoon or good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much, both of you, for all you do. I am wondering, what can the average citizen do to push for universal health care?
Yeah, the average person just needs to reach out to their elected officials, and I would argue also state legislative elected officials, because states could do plans on their own if you're in a blue state. But to raise the importance of this, look, we're the only industrialized nation that doesn't have universal health care. We've watched the Republicans not have a plan for 10 years and to take away health care, whether it be the Affordable Care Act or Medicaid. And, you know, there's no reason, we are a rich enough nation, that we should have health care for every single person. And I think there's more momentum than in my 14 years in Congress, Tom, for this issue right now. And that means we all have to continue to push it and make it an accountability issue with the elections coming up in November.
Agreed. Marilyn in Chicago, you're on the air with Representative Pocan.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I just have a question. This is regarding Eric Swalwell and, you know, the accusations against him. And I'm grateful that he, you know, was forced to step down, because I think that's imperative. But what I don't understand is dozens of women have accused Donald Trump, and he actually won two elections then, and he doesn't have to step down. I think that every Democrat should be saying, if Swalwell has to leave, so does Donald Trump, because this is extremely horrible to me. And then, you know, there were, I think, two women that wanted to speak to Bondi, you know, about their experiences where they were raped by him, and she refused to even talk to them. And yeah. I just don't understand why he keeps getting away with this.
Yeah, Marilyn, the victim should be heard, absolutely. I would say, though, I think the situation with Eric Swalwell was one of also influence, people who worked for him, of potential... rape. I don't know if there's probably a better word that I should be using, but you know, there was more to, I think, those stories than maybe some of the Trump stories. Although everything should be investigated, and I don't think that's happened to Donald Trump. And don't forget, Department of Justice is run by Donald Trump. I doubt it will happen.
Sadly, Robert in Chicago, you're on the air with Representative Pocan.
Yes, I'd like to know how you feel about publicly funded elections, and you think if we had a majority Democrats in Congress, if it would pass?
Yeah, I'll tell you, if TMZ really wanted to do something spectacular, they would focus all their time on campaign finance reform here in Washington while they're here, because it's not the personalities, it's about how the city operates. And this is true of state legislatures as well. I used to, in my state, Wisconsin, I was an author of 100% public financing of campaigns. I think if you want to clean up the system, you got to get special interest money out and big money out. Unfortunately, Citizens United is the biggest problem. But honestly, I can point to every single issue would get better for the people if we dealt with campaign finance reform. To me, it's the singular most important thing we could do.
Adele in Villa Park, Illinois. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much, gentlemen. My question is, how can I, as a regular citizen, get my voice heard by the DNC and the Democratic Party, namely Schumer and Jeffries, without being ignored or having to chase you down, especially when the party is not reaching young voters, people who feel their vote doesn't count, and those leaving MAGA without, but not coming over to us?
Yeah, so let me, on the members of Congress, it's hard because they have their districts, but if you have your own representative, happens to be a Democrat, they can be that vessel also to get that information there. DNC is something I'm not sure how to crack, I'll be honest. My displeasure with them on a pretty regular basis just continues, because honestly, they should be branding Democrats in a total 30,000 foot level. Like my friend Ken Weber has written a book, Branding Democrats. You know, the way they talk about it is what the party should be doing. Yet I have almost no relationship with the DNC, and I'm a Democratic member of Congress. The best way, I guess, is to become a Democratic Party member and try to influence through your DNC members. It's like 400 some people that make the decisions, but man, I'll tell you, my disappointment just kind of continues with what they should be doing and they're not doing. And there's so much opportunity for them to do better. And if we were branded better, we wouldn't be sitting at a time right now where people are so mad at Trump and Republicans, but they still don't like Democrats. That's ridiculous. And I do have to put that on the DNC. They have to improve.
We just have 30 seconds. I think you and I were both advocates for Ben Wickler.
Yes.
What's up with Ken Martin and what's his fate and future with the DNC?
You know, I, like I said, as a Democratic member of Congress, have almost no interaction with the DNC whatsoever, and I don't see them ever doing things that I find very useful. And the problem is it's 400-some people who are elected or appointed to the DNC that make kind of the decisions to select these people. And honestly, you know, we should be doing some bigger, bolder things than I see them doing. I don't have an excuse for why they're not doing it. I don't see much of him, and it's holding us back where we wouldn't have to in what could be a year where we'd be soaring in November.
Yeah.
We're held back by a DNC not working enough.
That's very unfortunate. Thank you for your candor, Congressman.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's one thing I got.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. No, you got a lot of things going here. Congressman Mark Pocan, one of the really great ones, one of the genuine good guys. Thank you so much for dropping by.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, as always. Appreciate it.
Okay. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
From the day we launched and every day since, the question we hear most is how and when we're going to expand our signal. Our society has come to expect huge full-power signals as the standard. In urban areas like ours, those are only owned by those who got in the market several decades ago or have millions to spend. If we got the opportunity to buy a bigger signal right now, at the current level of funding we have, we'd have to let it pass by. Significant individual support has shown it pays off in the long haul, whether that means X-ray expanding to the coast, investing funds in a major move across town for our originating signal, or even the more existential things. Like the coalition of people that got us the citywide 107.1 signal to supplement our tiny broadcast at 91.1 6 months after we launched. Invest in the future of X-Ray FM and a media landscape driven by the people of our community. Be a part of growing our base of support, whether you're new to the station, upping your support, or chipping in what you can for the cause. Become a member of Conscious Community Media at just $15 a month, so we, our community, can thrive long-term and take advantage of any opportunities that come our way. You can go to xray.fm/donate or call 503-233-X-RAY. That's 503-233-9729 to join today.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from P-Town Couriers, LLC, a local bicycle food delivery company delivering to the Portland metro area in an hour or less. More information and a list of local eateries they work with can be found at pdxccc.com.
This is Bird Note. You might